We're going to talk about cabbage on Foodie Tuesday. Alice Zaslavsky has been taking us through various vegetables far and wide. Alice, welcome.
Thank you, Raf. Always good to be here.
Food educator, author of Alice's Food A to Z, and you can find her on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Alice in Frames. Alice, why cabbage? Why are we talking about cabbage?
Because my favourite dish of the month is a cabbage dish, and I just had to tell everybody about it because it was that delicious, and I know that there are so many people that are crinkling their noses at the thought of cabbage.
They're sort of involuntarily going near their radio, going, oh, cabbage, and they've got, I know, in their mind, their smell memories going, rotten, boiled cabbage smell bad.
And that's something that we'll talk about. So that egg farty kind of smell, there's a reason why that comes out and you can avoid it.
What's the reason?
So it's overcooking it. It's the same as Brussels sprouts. It's the sulfurophate that's activated, and that's what gives it that sulfuric kind of rotten egg smell. So if you don't overcook your cabbage, guess what? No rotten egg.
Don't have you, and is that why you fart more with cabbage? Because it's got that in it?
It's gaseous, yeah, right, exactly. Okay. So, I don't know, Raf, is that why you fart more?
I can't remember someone. Oh, I was with some kids on the weekend, and one of them turned to the other and said, oh, he farted. And I said, yeah, listen, we all fart, we all snore. In fact, we all go to the toilet. It is a normal human bodily function. And I didn't know these kids well, and they sort of looked at me a bit strange. Kind of like when you say, you know, the Prime Minister and the Royal Family, they go to the toilet too. They fart and people, it sometimes puts people off. Cabbage. Mm-hmm. 1300 222 774. Yes, all the breaking news that's fit to print. The elected leaders of the world also go to the toilet. But aside from that, cabbage recipes, cabbage experiences, your best and worst of the cabbage world. Have you always been a cabbage fan?
Always.
Oh, really?
I'm from the Soviet Union.
Okay.
We had a lot of cabbage. So Mum would make, it was either borscht or it was shi. And shi is basically like a white borscht, so just with cabbage, no beetroot. And that was a soup that I grew up with. And it was always so sweet because she'd go heavy on cabbage, carrot, onion. You know, they were the cheapest ingredients that she could find, make big batches of that.
And is it a blended soup? Were you used to a blended one or a chunky one?
Chunky. So bits of cabbage, sauerkraut as well, classic.
That's fermented.
Fermented,
totally
yes.
Different.
Well, it's totally different, but it's still cabbage.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yep.
But I suspect there are quite a few people who can do the pickled, the fermented, but can't do the other.
Well, you know, you can actually add sauerkraut to soup as well, because it's already broken down. So if you add it to broth, then you've made your own cabbage soup, you know, in seconds.
Do we sell a lot of cabbage? I'm kind of thinking, A, it's the veggie in the supermarket that doesn't get bought, and B, if you get a delivery, it's the sort of thing most people lift the lid off their box and go, oh, cabbage.
I think unfortunately what you'll find is that a lot of vegetables aren't being bought, and especially vegetables that people grew up with. So cabbage was something that in the 70s kids would have grown up eating overboiled or steamed and just really flavourless. And so now they're not buying it for their families. And there are heaps of people that are rediscovering cabbage. Wonders, absolutely. Just like my book of the month, Sharon Flynn, who's a fermenter, and she's written a book called Ferment for Good. The reason... I love it. It's for meant to be.
Yeah, that's good.
The reason why I think that cabbage is being rediscovered is because granny skills are something that are coming back into vogue.
Granny skills. I haven't heard it expressed that way. Beautiful. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so, you know, that generation that hated that overboiled cabbage, their kids and grandkids are kind of going, okay, but what are we missing out on? So I'm hoping that people call in with some of their little fun cabbagey granny skills moments.
I hope so. Granny skills. I love it. On the text, by the way, nuns don't fart. It's not a good habit. Sorry, Raf, you started it. Very good,
boom.
Michael. I haven't heard that before. Cabbage rolls. My Croatian friend's mother's homemade, ridiculously good.
Mm.
Didn't know that cabbage rolls was a Croatian thing, actually. I suppose
all across the Baltic.
Mediterranean. Yeah,
yep, right, okay. Absolutely. And the Mediterranean is responsible for much of our cabbage production. You know, the ancient Greeks were cooking with cabbage.
So it's a Balkan thing, like Serb, Croat, Bosnian cabbage rolls.
All of them and all the way through. So, you know, even in Georgia, in Russia,
the
they're
up.
Called galupci, you know, whatever
cabbage
language.
Rolls are just a general European thing,
general,
every country?
Yeah.
France?
Well, I think in France, I'm sure, that there would be some variety, using Savoy rather than the classic white.
This might sum up a lot of people's attitude. Ian in Docklands, cabbage is pig food. Ouch.
Oh, didn't Ian say that about pumpkin, though?
Oh, did he? I don't remember. I reckon. Is Ian just the veggie hater? Maybe. Look out. I'm not sure. Fess up, Ian. He's from the meat lobby. Sam in Baldwin, finely shredded cabbage is wonderful with a zingy salad dressing. Delicious. Mm. And cabbage fried with bacon. Get on it. That's Chris in Preston. Okay, you can't just put bacon with every veggie that you're sort of a little bit uncomfortable with. I'll let that one in, but you just can't do that. Fresh cabbage or cooked cabbage? What do you prefer?
It depends on the variety. Uh-huh. So if you're making coleslaw, a softer variety, something that's less fibrous, like, say, Savoy or Wombok, are fantastic for your coleslaw.
Wombok's the longer shape.
Wombok's the Chinese cabbage, yep. Yeah. It's longer shaped. The leaves are kind of not as tightly knit.
Yep.
And that's fantastic also if you're going to make kimchi. Red cabbage is fabulous at this time of year for your coleslaw as well, but I like to sort of go half and half red and
so red's better raw than the white.
Well, I think it's just it from an aesthetic perspective. I think it just kind of, you know, looks good.
Do they taste drastically different, the purple, the red, and the white?
I think it depends on where you get it from. It depends on how it's grown. But actually, I've found that the red cabbage is sweeter than a green, standard green cabbage. But again, it's what you do with it, Raf.
it's how you wield your kitchen tools. I'm happy to take the love and the hate, by the way. There are people calling. I can see the phone lines. And what happens, you call the producers, ask you what you're going to talk about. I can see people have got lots of exciting recipes, which I'm happy to go with. Wonderful. Cressida is in Port Melbourne, standing up for the cabbages of the world. What's your recipe?
Well, it's actually Cara Martinis, but I use it all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Shredded cabbage, fresh peas, parmesan, lemon juice and olive oil.
Ooh.
Absolutely delicious.
So raw shredded cabbage.
Raw shredded and red chilli, flecks of red chilli if you don't have small children around.
Yep, and delicious. Karen uses the white cabbage for that salad, doesn't she?
It's white cabbage,
Yummy.
We make it all the time. Great with pizza.
Mm.
With pizza, always the healthy side.
Yeah, that's the healthy side.
Okay, how much parmesan you're chucking in there?
As much you can find.
Yeah, right, okay. And is it kid-friendly in your experience?
It's very – kids love it as long as you don't put the chili in it. Chili on the side.
You just got to get the kids accustomed to chili. But thank you, Cressida. Peas, parmesan, chili, white cabbage, and lemon, she said as well, didn't she?
Mm.
Meg is in Coon. You knew what Cara Martini is.
I'm the cookbook
queen.
Correct.
Yeah, okay. She has them stacked by her bedside. She memorises them. She doesn't know who won the 978 grand final, but that's okay. Different expertise. I don't know either. Meg's in Coonawarra. Go for it, Meg.
Hi, Rav. Well, I'll give you a little bit of the bad. My mother had a pressure cooker and she used to cook cabbage in the pressure cooker and it was revolting. But
how long was she cooking it in the pressure cooker for, Meg?
Oh, only a few minutes, but the smell. Right. It was awful. But anyway, I do a red cabbage. It's chou rouge à l'aigre doux. It's a French sweet and sour red
cabbage. Name again.
Chou rouge à l'aigre doux, which means red cabbage, sweet and sour.
Ooh. And what's in it?
And onions, apple, brown sugar, port, parsley, thyme, bay leaf, nutmeg.
Oh, yummy.
And the cabbage. And then I do it in layers with the port and the sugar and the cabbage and the onion and so on.
Oh, you bake it?
I cook it in a slow cooker.
Oh, okay.
And then halfway through, I bury pork chops into it and I cook it for about 6 hours. And I'm here to tell you, it is divine.
Mm. Oh, pork chops with it as well?
Yes.
Ooh,
you brown the pork chops in a pan.
Yeah, right.
And then you bury them in the middle of the cabbage.
Where'd you get the recipe, Meg?
Oh, I'll send it to you, Raf.
I don't, please do, but did you find that in a new cookbook, old cookbook, family? Where'd you find the recipe?
Ah, gosh.
Do you remember?
French book.
French cookbook.
French book.
Okay.
Yes.
Mm. Sounds fantastic, Meg.
I'll send it to you.
Yeah, do send it in. Thank you so much. It's 3:45. By the way, someone's texting me the Hawks won the 1978 grand final. Good. Love. I love crowdsourcing a little bit of information. Alice Zaslavsky is with us. Alice, you inspired?
I am super inspired, and I feel like that recipe that Meg just mentioned sounds like it's out of a Julia Child cookbook.
Yes, that was going to be my next.
Totally. But on the sweet and sour French red cabbage, my favourite recipe for that is from Ala Wolftasker's Lake House cookbook, and she teams that with some confit duck. It's the best.
Yeah, but everything tastes good with confit duck.
It's true. And you don't – I know that Meg uses the slow cooker, and I'm sure that it's absolutely scrumptious, but you don't even need to do that. You can just do it in a pan with the lid. And some, if you don't have port, you can just use some red wine vinegar or sherry vinegar, whatever vinegar you have, and that brown sugar.
Apparently pressure cookers are making a comeback, and apparently they're much easier to use, harder to stuff up.
Yes, we bought a new one a couple of weeks ago.
Right, okay.
It's so exciting because it's smaller. You know, we've got a teeny tiny flat. We don't have the room. They're making them smaller. They're much more reliable. They don't explode.
Yes.
So if you've got an old pressure cooker that you're just not using, it might be time to take that to the op shop and get yourself a new one.
Because they've got a bad rep, don't they?
Super duper bad rep. But, you know, technology moves. It moves on.
I have cabbage growing in the garden, says this text. I will make it sauerkraut.
Mm-hmm.
Catherine from Yarraville. Sauteed red cabbage with apple pieces and caraway. Yum, I can imagine. I know caraway is a bit divisive, but yes. And Meg has sent us pictures of her recipe. So we'll see on the text message service. So if we see if we can find a way out of pumping that out on Twitter and Instagram. Oh, here's a little recipe on the text. Melt some butter, brown an onion, a couple of teaspoons of cumin. Drop in shredded cabbage and grated carrot. Lid on, steam for 5 minutes. Delicious. Boom.
Yummy. And that's the best part about cabbage. It doesn't take long for it to taste delicious. Can I tell you about my favourite way that I cooked it in the last month, Raph?
Sure.
I don't want to run out of time. I'll be sad. It was actually a recipe that was inspired by Benjamin Cooper from Chin Chin, who cooked it for me on stage. It's a quarter of a white cabbage. In fact, you can use any cabbage that you want. Really, really hot pan. Pop a little bit of peanut oil or vegetable, whatever oil you have, on the exposed faces of the cabbage, and then burn both of those exposed faces.
So you like cut a big slice out of the cabbage.
Exactly. Yep. Or even just a quarter of a whole cabbage. And then so burn both sides. I'm talking blackened. And then you're going to pop them into the oven at 180 degrees, all of these quarters, with a drizzle of soy sauce. That's going to add that sort of moisture and flavour for about 7 to 10 minutes at 180. Oh. Bring it out. It's cooked. It's meaty. You actually don't need to add anything to it. You don't even need to add bacon. It's so
good. That sounds really good and really simple.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Dinner on the table.
And someone's saying, you do really have to have a dead animal in everything. That's from Gail. No, you don't, Gail. No, you don't. We're trying to give you some ideas.
Absolutely not. And I think there's a real reason why people talk about adding cheese and adding bacon or any sort of, you know, small goods, charcuterie. It's because the amino acids add another layer of flavour. You don't need to be adding animal products to have that. You can add mushrooms, you can add caramelised onions, you can add tomato. All of that will give you that Vegemite-y savouriness. Mm.
I love the burning it and sticking it in the oven recipe. That sounds good. Chris is in Highton with another recipe. What is it?
Hey, Raph, this is really simple compared to some of the others, but my favourite way to do it, it's a little bit like what you're just talking about, just chopping it quite roughly, putting it into a saucepan with a decent knob of butter, jamming a lid on it, and just let it cook really slowly so it just caramelises in the butter. Mm. And then every minute or so, just push your hand down hard on the lid, take the pot and give it a damn good shake, and then just whack it back on again, but don't lift the lid until it's cooked.
Oh, so you're just shaking it, and how long are you leaving it on the stove for?
Oh, 7 or 8 minutes, perhaps, maximum.
Oh, not long.
No. But it just sort of really just cooks in the steam and the butter just caramelises, and it's absolutely gorgeous.
And does it matter what sort of cabbage, white, red, purple?
I tend to do it with the Savoy.
Yeah, right.
Just a bit softer. So, yeah, it's good.
Good eating at Chris's place in Highton tonight. Look, your cabbage, feel free. We haven't had a cabbage horror story. We're open. We're open-minded people. With Alice Zaslavsky. Number one, there's a cabbage roll divide in our house. My wife loves them, made with fresh cabbage, but she's totally wrong. The best cabbage rolls are made with sauerkraut leaves. Raph, forget smashed avocado. This is text number two. Buttery, peppery, mashed cabbage on toast can be combined with potato, yams or pumpkin, and you can add crisp bacon for crunch. Sounding good. Buttery, peppery, mashed cabbage on toast. And text number three from Dini, Indonesian cabbage stir-fry sort. Finely shredded cabbage, finely shredded carrot, shredded snow peas, onion, garlic, white pepper, salt, powdered chicken stock, eggs, stir-fry onion and garlic, add carrots, then cabbage until wilted, add seasoning, eggs and snow peas. Yum. Don't overcook it. Indonesian cabbage stir-fry. Sounds sensational. Alice, your fermented recipe, what is it?
Well, it's not a recipe, it's a book. It's Ferment for Good. It's by Sharon Flynn. It's my favourite book of the month because it's got so many cabbage recipes in
yeah,
it.
Yeah, she came in a few years ago.
She did, yes. And the reason why she's well known around the traps in Victoria especially is because she is one part of the fermentary, which you might have seen in restaurants or
at the shops. Best kimchi in Melbourne.
The
hands down
best, I agree. And what you can actually do, you can buy her kimchi juice separately and pour it into your Bloody Marys.
Does the kimchi juice help you make your own kimchi?
You don't actually. You don't need a starter to make kimchi.
No, you don't. You just do that yourself. But have you made kimchi?
I have. Well, my husband's the fermenter in our household.
And how was it?
It was amazing.
Oh, okay. And did
really
you use her recipe?
Easy. He used her recipe, but it was a spoken. They discussed it together. They did
like,
a fermentation.
It's like
making
together. Any other pickle things. It's not so simple to do really well, something like that sort of pickling, no?
Well, pickling and fermenting are very different things. You know, sure. One you can do really quickly and the other one takes time. I think
but kimchi takes time.
Kimchi definitely takes time. Mm. And the key is to use good quality cabbage and when it's in season. And guess what? Cabbage is in season right now.
But you've got to take heaps of notes and then you've got to wait weeks before you know if your choices have been right. And then, like, you know, you understand what I mean. It's not as easy as, oh, I'll just adjust that now in the cooking process that only takes a few hours.
I think you can geek out a lot about it or you can trial and error it. You know, there's a reason why. That's right. Feel the force. There's a reason why generations have been fermenting and it's because it's quite elemental, actually, and quite alchemical, too. It's like, you know, taking something and turning it into something completely different.
Very alchemy is a good parallel.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
But that makes it hard.
Well, no. It's not like spinning gold.
I'm a big advocate for kimchi, just making it yourself, a little tricky.
I think I would start, if you have never fermented before, I would start with sauerkraut over kimchi because all you need for that is cabbage and salt. So, and a big jar.
You need a big jar. I love the text. Viva la fresh coleslaw, red and white cabbage. Viva. Paula is in Mornington. What do you want to tell us, Paula? Oh.
My mum growing up in Shepparton and she told the story that the only takeaway my grandmother would allow was on the way to the drive-in movies, and they'd take her big saucepans to the Chinese shop and they'd get chicken chow mein and eat it at the drive-in movies.
And how long ago would that be?
60s.
Yeah, right, okay. And when you took your own containers.
And Nana was a huge country home cook, so there was never, ever any takeaway.
Okay.
But that was it. Mm. It must have been very exotic in those days.
Well, there's a reason why so many Chinese recipes have cabbage or some form, because aside from the Mediterranean and Europe, where a lot of cabbage varieties were developed, China was the other place that brought us things like pak choi and wombok. And so you get that really fantastic multicultural flavour profile. Regardless of what you add to cabbage, it's always going to taste good.
Is that why there's cabbage in dim sims?
Well,
because the Chinese, I assume.
Yes, but you know the dim sim that we know, the one that you get sort of frozen, was actually created right here in
South Melbourne market. Are they the first?
They weren't the first.
No,
it was
someone else.
Yeah.
Was it Elizabeth?
Elizabeth Chong's dad.
That's right, Elizabeth Chong's dad. I've spoken to Elizabeth about that.
Uh-huh.
I love that Melbourne's the home of so many things, including the classic Australian dim sim. By the way, we've tweeted out Sharon Flynn's recipe for sauerkraut and Alice's tips on what cabbage to buy. They'll be online after the show. Stu in research is giving us a French lesson. Bonjour, mon petit chou. Sounds sexy, but it means hello, my little cabbage. Well, it might not sound sexy to you, Stu, but, you know, might be to some. Each to their own. Norm's in Creswick. What's your cabbage memory?
The water off the cabbage with Vegemite in it. And that was the soup for the boys after we've just come in off milking the cows. It's been snowing outside in Ballarat.
Ooh, was it good?
It was a very pleasant, hot, tasty thing when you've just walked in from with the snow outside.
Sure. So it was basically the water that came off the cabbage.
The water that came off the cabbage. She didn't waste it. She put some Vegemite in it and stirred it up, and that's what the soup was.
And have you ever replicated the recipe?
No, we don't make too much cabbage these days.
Now get your cabbage on, Norm. That's why she's here. Reuben sandwiches use cabbage. Is there cabbage in a Reuben?
Sauerkraut.
Of course.
Yeah. And it's very important. There are a lot of people that say only red cabbage, only red sauerkraut, whereas others say no,
oh, I didn't
it has
know
to
that.
Be the white.
That's the Reuben distinction.
Correct.
They have fights over what sort of cabbage in the sauerkraut.
That's right.
Okay. I haven't eaten too many Reubens in my life. Has to be authentic Russian borscht, says David in Ballarat. A Russian priest gave me his Barbusha's recipe. It is apparently over 150 years old. You julienne the cabbage, potato, carrot, beans and onions. Lightly fry the potatoes. Add everything to veg or beef stock. Simmer for 20 minutes. Serve with rye bread covered in real butter.
Ooh,
that sounds cool. I like that. I love cabbage, but cabbage doesn't love me. The cat gets blamed a lot. That's from Heather. The cat. I don't know if you can blame the cat. You can blame the dog. Cat's not sort of not big enough. Rob's in Lara. Go for it, Rob.
My mother was one of those women of a certain generation that bore the life out of everything, and mm-hmm. cabbage was one of them. But to top it all off, she used to throw bacon in with the cabbage and boil the bacon with the cabbage.
Boil the bacon?
Yeah.
Hot ham water.
Could put Vegemite with it and make soup.
That's right. And what did the boiled bacon taste like?
Nothing.
Right.
The same as the cabbage did, nothing.
Right. Just boiled all the flavour away, right? Just sounds completely unappetising, Rob. Really, really unappetising. Alice, things to keep in mind when buying cabbage.
Well, as with all leafy vegetables, look at the outside of the leaves, the tips of the leaves. Everything needs to be really firm and crisp and fresh. The most important thing as well is to know when cabbage is in season, which is right now.
Sure.
If you're going to buy a half a cabbage, you'll notice that straight away it starts to oxidise. So as soon as you get it home to store it, pop it into a plastic bag, the much endangered species now, plastic bag in the fridge, in the crisper, but don't seal the bag because those gases will start to...
Don't seal it.
Don't tie it.
So leave
it
like in an open bag.
That's right.
Fold it over or like open?
You can fold it over just a little bit, especially if you've got other things in that crisper with the
cabbage. Because we never seem to go through all the cabbage. You cook it, but going through it all is not easy.
It takes time. So if you are going to, I would actually recommend buying a whole cabbage and then chopping quarters off rather than chopping it in half straight away. So chop off a quarter. That way you've got less, exactly, you've got less exposed area. It won't oxidise as quickly. We bought a cabbage at a farmer's market and didn't get to it for 3 weeks and it was still good. It was perfect because
right,
we didn't.
Oh,
3 weeks.
Because
we didn't,
cut
into it. Yep. Okay. So it's like nature's own cling wrap.
Okay. Just a few other uses for cabbage. Cabbage leaves in my maternity bra. There you go.
Oh.
Heard of it. Haven't seen it done.
Yeah.
And best childhood food, cabbage, onions and bacon fried. Best with mash and schnitzel. We'll put Alice's tips online and the recipes. What did you want to briefly
say? Well, that maternity bra thing makes perfect sense because cabbage obviously holds the temperature really well. It's quite cooling. Exactly. So for nursing mothers, perfect.
There you go. Try it at home. Let us know how it works out. Alice, thank you so much.
Always a pleasure, Raf.
Alice Zaslavsky. You can find her on social media at Alice in Frames.